Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Rams crossover show. We are live together. It's Grant Goldberg, Spike Friedman, and Bear Mater of Locked On Rams. You know, we're super excited. It's always a great show. It's always a great time mixing things up together. Bear, how are you doing?
Oh, I am doing great. I literally just landed, walked in the house, plugged in the mic, and here we are talking football. I'm excited. It's always a fun matchup when it's Seahawks week. So even though the records, you know, are a little bit different, the feel is a little bit different from the past couple years, but there's still something special about this matchup, and you know that both teams are going to come ready to play.
Definitely, definitely. I think that in a lot of the cases, especially in the last half decade, the Seahawks have been in these, you know, tough heavyweight matchups within their own division, whether it be, you know, with the 49ers at the start of their run and now the Rams kind of taking the reins in the NFC West. So it's always a super fun, super tough game for both teams, except for the game that we don't like to talk about last year at the end of the year. But not to neglect Spike, because I know Spike loves thinking about facing the Rams. Spike, now I know you're super, super excited to face the Rams, especially without Earl Thomas.
Yeah, I am not convinced the Seahawks are ready to show up for this game. A lot of bad news for us, but I am excited to talk about it. When I'm able to just watch the Rams, I try right now to just watch the Rams without thinking about who the Rams are and what the Rams represent vis-a-vis the Seahawks. And when I can manage to do that for a couple of minutes at a time, it's a joyous thing to behold, much like watching the Seahawks was as recently as like 2 years ago. So much respect to everything that's happened there. And I think we should let's start on that side of the ball. Let's talk about the matchup between the Rams offense and the Seahawks defense. Bear, let's start by just asking what to me I think is the big question, which is, Jared Goff looks great right now. And is he evolving? Do you think of him as a system quarterback still? Like, what makes Jared Goff look like he is finally becoming worthy of that number one pick in the draft?
Yeah, the system quarterback talk, I think, has, you know, been thrown out the window, at least here in Rams Nation here in Los Angeles. I think around the league, he's still got some work to do on doing these numbers consistently. But kind of just seeing what he's done in phases, right? You go back to the year he was drafted, basically, you know, named a bust after his first seven games. Jeff Fisher's is the coach. We bring in a whole new regime. We bring in some offensive weapons. We finally solidify that offensive line, which I think is really the biggest thing, because it's allowed Jared Goff to really stand back there and find people to throw to. And he's done a great job in the pocket, whether it's moving and creating time and space for himself. But he's just consistently getting better every game. And I think that is with the development of him and Sean McVay. And he's becoming that, you know, that second nature of Sean McVay on the field. You know, he's really becoming Sean McVay on the field, and you can see it in every game. And the weird thing is what you heard Cooper Kupp say last week is that he's so calm and he's so confident as well. And I think that the players are really starting to see that. And they went from kind of this like young quarterback who, you know, was drafted number one to now finally becoming that leader. He had this here in Los Angeles, he had this memorable speech after his first year, and he said, you know, we're going to get better and it's going to start with me, and we are going to switch this thing around and we're going to turn around, I promise you. And everyone's holding on to that because at first you thought it was words, but now he's put it into action. You see him get better from last year, really a huge jump up. And now here we are 4-0, you know, statistically, I think he's second in passing yards. The Rams are first in overall points. And then he's also number one quarterback ranking in Pro Football Focus. So it's not really a fluke. It's not, you know, everyone wants to put system quarterback, and they had to do that to Tom Brady for a long time. But I think everyone's really excited about the steps that he's going. And the crazy thing is when you look at, you know, what's happened in 3 years, you kind of get excited and you're thinking, what can happen in three more years as we have this really young core that all of our big pieces, Todd Gurley, Cooper Kupp, Cooks, all the all a lot of our offensive line, the young offensive linemen, they're all basically locked in for the next 3 to 5 years, and then you throw in Aaron Donald on the other side. So when you start to look at the talent around him, you get excited about where he can go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Grant, you fire off another question, because this is all incredibly dispiriting to me right now.
Now, with Jared Goff's emergence, and I kind of tend to agree with you, and I was really, really down on Goff, especially in his first year, and then I wasn't quite a believer last year, but he's definitely kind of slowly changed my opinion of him with the kind of caliber of throws he's making and the poise that he has. He just looks like a different quarterback, and I don't think that itself can be chalked up to the system that he's in, albeit it's a great system, and Sean McVay is doing a great job. But, you know, a guy that I want to talk about is Todd Gurley. We saw him have a kind of a muted performance in Goff's standout game, and I think that, you know, is the Rams offense, who does it go through now? Is it Gurley? Is he the lifeblood of this offense, or have the reins been completely handed over to Goff?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you're right. That last game, you know, a muted game for Todd Gurley as far as what we're used to in
right,
the last,
exactly.
You know, 18 plus games. But it's weird. Even a couple of his big games this year, I mean, his 3-touchdown performance, he didn't have a crazy number game. He just kind of, you know, got us there, and he had, you know, over 100 yards on the ground and through the air. We just have so many weapons. I think it's interesting. That's a great question. Where does the offense go through? And really, I think it still goes through Gurley, because, you know, my favorite stat of Sean McVay's right now is if he wins the time of possession battle, he's undefeated when he wins that battle right now, which it's now increasing to, like, I don't know, it's like 12-0 or 13-0 when he wins the possession battle. And I think that is something that they want to realize, because a couple times that we've lost a game and we haven't gone through Gurley, the first thing Sean McVay says is like, man, I got to still go to our guy, right? I got to work the ground game, because it really sets up Jared Goff in that play action, which he's ranked last year and then this year on the top of the league as far as play action passing. So I think it still goes through Gurley, but you could tell now that if they stop Gurley, if they find a way to contain him, that Jared Goff can take the reins and still run this offense, which I think is becoming a scary thing to not only you guys in our division, but some of the other teams in the NFL is going, well, we thought we just really had to stop Gurley and try to slow down Jared Goff. But now it's like, okay, Gurley can, or Goff can do this on his own. We saw that on Thursday night when he threw for you know, it seemed like 1,500 yards, but, you know, it was 5 touchdowns and, you know, 400 plus. So, yeah, it's a great question, and I think it still goes through Gurley, but the scary thing is Goff can run that offense now, which I think people are starting to realize.
Yeah, I think it's...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, one, so the Seahawks have had a really rough week between the injury to Earl Thomas, the news that KJ Wright is going to be out a couple more weeks, and the suspension that came down for Michael Kendricks. And so I guess my question is, thinking about all the weapons you have and the versatility of your offense and the variety that Sean McVay can throw out there, an offensive game plan, who do the Seahawks miss more this week? Those guys in the second level in the linebacking core, or Earl Thomas? Do you think you're going to beat us in the middle of the field with guys like Todd Gurley, guys like Cooper Kupp? Are you going to beat us over the top with Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods?
Yeah, I mean, if it's anything like last week, you're going to really miss Earl Thomas. And I think in general, just having that leadership out there that he was bringing, and he was playing so hard these last couple games. And that's what is, you know, sucks, even a fan of the game, man, it's tough to watch him. And, you know, I was right there tapping him on his shoulders, you know, when he's flipping off the Seahawks. I'd love to hear you guys' take on that at some point in the show. But, you know, I feel his pain. I think that's who you're going to really miss, because they went over the top a lot last game. I mean, and that's the crazy thing. And that's where Sean McVay comes in, right? Because you talk about where can they beat you. Well, they can beat you across the middle. They can beat you short into the outside. They can beat you over the top. He's such a good scheming type of offensive coordinator when it comes to it, in a sense. I mean, he basically runs that offense. But yeah, I mean, the weapons that we have, I mean, you could pound the rock and let Todd Gurley carry it 32 times if you want and really just wear out that front. Or, you know, you can work Cooper Kupp over the middle, and Robert Woods has, you know, earned a living since he's come over, you know, in that 8 to 15 yard range over the middle. I mean, both those guys can do it. And then now that we've got Brandon Cooks, who I believe is like third in the league in reception yards, and he's our deep ball guy. And actually watching the game on Thursday night, a couple of those guys can go deep. So I think really it's going to be Earl Thomas that you miss most. But, you mentioned it there. I mean, those were just a few of the names. And you kind of look big picture and even what was there last year to this year, that defense, they're really going to need that the 12th fan to get loud because they're going to need some extra help when it comes to that defense side of the ball.
Oh, boy. not quite sure how to respond to that because – because we already knew we'd miss Earl Thomas throughout not just this game, right, but the whole season, and then beyond this season, most likely. But, yeah, it's definitely – well, I'm not going to say the worst-case scenario for the Seahawks because a lot more things could happen to them, who knows, to be facing the Rams just after they lose Earl Thomas, just after their prolific performance on Thursday Night Football. And The Seahawks cornerbacks, too, they're a young group of guys. Shaquille Griffin's played extremely well this season, but they have a conversion fifth-round pick from safety to cornerback in Trey Flowers, who's going to have a big task going up against Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp and Jared Goff. And so there's just a lot of ways the Rams can stretch out the Seahawks defense. Tedrick Thompson's largely untested, so it's going to be a really, really big task for the Seahawks secondary.
Yeah, it's a disaster, and I'll just say as we end this side of the ball, you asked about Earl Thomas flipping off the sideline. And I'll reiterate Pete Carroll's comments on it, which is that I, as a fan, there's some local media guys, including Matt Calkins of the Seattle Times, who've really called him out for that. I'm not one of those guys. Dude broke his leg deep in his career in a contract year, right, when the team should have offered him an extension. His emotions in that moment. I mean, look, I've lived in L.A. I've lived in Seattle. I've flipped off people driving for not signaling. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like given everything that is a 4 months of rehab injury that's costing him probably eight figures. If that's how he reacts, that's how he reacts. It does not erase his legacy in Seattle. It's a little irksome for me as a fan, but like nothing that I'm going to get too worked about. And I think the people who are getting worked up about it, maybe aren't as in tune with everything good that Earl Thomas did in his time in Seattle, which is so much.
Definitely. And I was just going to add that Marshawn Lynch flipped off the Seahawks sideline multiple times, and he is still loved in Seattle. So, two all-time great Seahawks just, flipping the bird towards the Seahawks sideline.
Oh boy, what a team to be a fan of. What a year to be a fan of the team. So let's take a quick break. We will be back after this. We'll be talking the Seahawks offense against the Rams defense. I think the big question for everybody, can the Seahawks keep up with the Rams? We'll be back right after this. Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Rams crossover episode on the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, we are back. This is the Wednesday edition. That means crossover edition. We've got Spike Friedman, we've got Grant Goldberg, and myself, Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. And we're going to do, before we kick off, we're going to do our MyBookie segment. And you guys know what the deal is with MyBookie. It's the place you need to go to put your bets down. It's mybookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25. You get $25 when you deposit $100. It's a great deal. It used to be just for brand new customers, but now it's for anybody when you put a deposit in. So go check it out. It's not always who you're betting on, but where you're betting on. You bet, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. We're going to do a fun segment here where we kind of pick a couple games. We'll do three games. We'll throw it around the house really quick, and we'll kind of pick going off of MyBookie. I've got it pulled up right now. And then we'll finish with our game, and we can do maybe a score prediction in the third section, but we'll kind of pick that game. So some great games again. NFL season has been so fun. We'll stick it in the division to kind of start kick this off. Arizona Cardinals head down. The Arizona Cardinals head over to San Francisco to face them in this Week 4 matchup. The Cardinals are getting 4.5 points. So obviously San Fran is the favorite at home. Guys, what do you see happening in this one? Do you think San Francisco covers?
I don't. I think we saw a pretty bad Cardinals team last week, but we didn't see a Cardinals team nearly as bad as the one that Rams fans saw earlier this year, because Josh Rosen, despite a sort of middling stat line, looked pretty sharp. There were a bunch of drops, a bunch from Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not going to bank on Larry Fitzgerald continuing to drop the ball. And if I'm getting points against C.J. Beathard, I'm going to need a good reason not to take them. And with Josh Rosen at quarterback for the Cardinals, I don't see that good reason. So for me, I'm taking the Cardinals and the points.
Yeah, I was kind of really impressed watching Josh Rosen, you know, in his performance against the Seahawks. He looked, you know, pretty poised. He made some great throws. And if not for, you know, a few drops, then his stat line looks a lot better. And so, yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals with the points like Spike.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go full circle on this. And I originally thought I'd say 49ers here being a home game, but I think C.J. Beathard really outplayed himself in the first game for what I expect him to be long term. And maybe we're all wrong. We'll find out here soon. But I think Rosen is going to just continue to get better, a little bit more comfortable in the system, start to move the ball down the field. It was a close one last week, so I expect it to be another close one. So if we're getting 4.5 points, I mean, all we got to lose by is a field goal here and still win. So I'll take the Arizona Cardinals with the points. Makes it a clean sweep here. And I think we're all in agreements when we're all happy. So at this point, give the Cardinals the win and move forward. Kind of moving on here. Let's see, what other good games do we got that might be a good one to kind of... Okay, this will be a good one. We just saw them on Monday Night Football, and their offense, just like the Rams, is near the top. They're both undefeated. This is the other undefeated team, Kansas City Chiefs. So the Jacksonville Jaguars and that defense gets on the road and goes to Kansas City. Jacksonville Jaguars are getting 3 points on the road. What do you guys think about this game?
I, for one, like the Jags in this game, and I think it comes down to my experience of rooting for a team with a world-class defense. I mean, you can just think back to those battles between the Seahawks and the Broncos a couple years ago, and a great secondary can throttle a really good passing game. And as good as Mahomes has been, we saw him take like a quarter step back last week. I think the Jags win this game outright, and I think they can make it ugly with their defense. God, I said all that, and I'm like, man, I'm banking on Blake Bortles to take advantage yeah. of a really middling Chiefs. I mean, middling is being generous with right. The Chiefs defense. But, you know, I just really think that great defense is going to thwart great offense in this game. But I think in a lot of ways this is the game of the week.
Yeah, but I agree with the last part, but I'm actually going to go the opposite direction in this game. I think when you watch Patrick Mahomes this season, granted it's against the Jaguars and their defense is really, really great, but we see, you know, great defenses slip up from time to time, and the way Patrick Mahomes is playing and the way Tyreek Hill can break open a game, Kareem Hunt can work on you, Travis Kelce can work on you. I think I like the Chiefs, and I'm comfortable with them getting 3 points in Kansas City. So yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs to win this game outright.
Yeah, I this is tough because I'm the third person. I'm the tiebreaker here, and I got to listen to both sides of it, and both times I'm nodding my head, going, "Yeah, good points." And I think I'm just gonna have to go. Here with the points, I'll take Kansas City at home. I think they're great at home just over the last, 10 years, basically. So I think that's going to maybe be a little bit of edge. And then as you were talking about, they just have so many players that you have to stop, kind of like the Rams. They're just – if you shut down the run game, they've got Hill. If you shut down the outside, they got Kelce across the middle. I think that Jacksonville Jaguars defense is good, but we saw them so far this year have moments – where they can be beaten. The only thing that, you know, does get me is that Chiefs defense is going to be the end of them at some point, whether that is their undefeated streak or even when it gets in the playoffs, someone's going to just tear up that defense and find a way to shut down Mahomes for a couple quarters, and there you go, you're lost. But I don't think it's this week. I think Kansas City takes it, minus three. And then we'll finish with our game of the week. And obviously we know that as being the Seahawks and the Rams. The Rams are traveling up to the Northwest where they, you know, I know you mentioned earlier, but they favored pretty well last year up there in the house. They are getting 7.5 points on the road. So they're 7.5 point favored. What do you guys think about this? Are you going to take Seahawks with the points?
I'll start. And it's always tough to pick the Seahawks to lose by more than a one score game. That's the Seahawks with Earl Thomas, and it's the Seahawks. You know, they haven't been able to find that really potent offensive production, and so when it comes to keeping up with the Rams, you know, they're going to have a really tough time doing so with Brian Schottenheimer at the helm calling the plays. We see all the weapons that you keep reminding us of on the Rams. And yeah, it's tough to give Seattle the 7.5 points even at home, just considering the circumstances with Earl Thomas gone, Will Disley gone, Doug Baldwin still hurt, Chris Carson still nursing the injury, should be back. But yeah, I think that it's really, really tough to pick the Seahawks with the points. So I'm picking the Rams to cover.
Yeah, the Seahawks haven't played a good offense this year. The best offense they've played is Denver's, which currently ranks 13th in DVOA. The Rams are obviously number one with a bullet and on a historic pace. I believe the top 10 all-time through 4 weeks. And if we had Earl Thomas and either Michael Kendricks or K.J. Wright coming into this game, I think the Seahawks defense to this point in the year is a little underrated. They're, you know, they're 6th in DVOA. They've been really effective at full strength. They're not at full strength. They're not going to be at full strength again. And it sort of breaks my heart because I think this is a game that at full strength, the Seahawks could really do to the Rams what the Rams used to do to the Seahawks, which is torture them. You know what I mean? Like, if we had Earl Thomas, we could torture Jared Goff. You know, we've got the new punting wizard, even if he's just been okay the last 2 weeks. You know, we've clearly got some trick plays ready to go. And it's just like without Earl and without Kendricks, there's just too many holes in this defense. I think the Rams win this game. Man, 7.5 at home. I just can't see us holding the Rams under 30 and that Brian Schottenheimer offense. I mean, you're talking about a unit ranked 27th in DVOA right now. Oh, it kills me, but I'm laying 7.5 at home. I can't believe it. God, get well soon, Earl.
Well, I wish I could be more of a struggle here as I break this down, but I just don't. I mean, if it was 17 points, I'd still have a little bit of a debate on my hands as far as how I want to go. But the Rams are going to cover this spread, I think, with ease. Unfortunately, you said it. All the banged up pieces you got there. You know, we're on fire right now offensively. I think we've only had 7 punts all year. 7 punts all year. I mean, we had a couple years ago, Johnny Hecker had 7 punts in the game. So we've only had 3 three-and-outs this season. We've had more games than we've had 3-and-outs, which is just mind-blowing. We're on it, like you mentioned, we're on kind of record pace here as far as offensive numbers go. We're ahead of the pace of The Greatest Show on Turf, which is creating a lot of buzz here. So I think the Rams are just going to put up a lot of points. Another thing that they've done since the McVay era is they're beating teams when they're supposed to beat teams. And not only just beating them, they're putting a lot of points up on them. They're going to continue. I mean, we saw it last year when they just kept scoring and kept scoring and kept scoring. They're not going to take the, you know, the foot off the pedal, especially on a division opponent, no matter how beat up they are. So I think they're going to go up there. It's just going to be tough to outscore this offense. And I think with our defense still finding the groove, I think we're going to see some big numbers on both sides of the ball. So I got them covering here. And that's our MyBookie segment, guys. So again, go check it out, mybookie.ag. If you're not doing it there already, come on, get with it. It's the best place to do it. They got in-game live betting. So as this spread continues to grow, you can keep throwing money on it. But that'll do it for our MyBookie segment. We're going to quick talk about, as we teased on the other side, this, you know, Russell Wilson offense versus our defense, which we kind of just mentioned here. And I'll throw it up to you guys with the first question. You know, the running back situation for you guys has been interesting, and really for me as well, because, you know, I had Carson on my fantasy team for a while, and then I had to sit him last week with, you know, being injured, and here comes Mike Davis and gets 2 touchdowns, and, you know, now Pete Carroll's talking about splitting time, and obviously there's still Penny somewhere in the mix. So what's going on with that offense, and who's going to be the primary ball carrier?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start first, and I think there's going to be, you know, two ways that the Seahawks are able to keep this close or even make this a game. And one, the Rams get so tired from scoring points, they can't do it anymore from every other week, and they just don't want to this week. No, but I think having an effective, dynamic performance from the backfield, whether that be Mike Davis or Chris Carson, is going to benefit the Seahawks a lot. It'll help them with time of possession, and it'll keep moving the sticks and make them able to put points on the board. So I think Chris Carson's going to be that number one back, but Mike Davis is going to get a significant amount of time. I think, again, more than Rashad Penny. And I think that if they're going to find success on offense, they need to get the ball out super quick, and they needed to get it to the playmakers they have in the backfield.
Yeah, so looking at the way that the offense versus defense matches up, and, you know, there's lots of talk about the Rams and where their weak spot is, and right now it seems to be the linebacking core is probably the best area you can attack. And really, Russell Wilson likes to extend plays, which in you know, my question to you guys is, in a sense, is that a good thing coming up against this crazy defensive front, which I feel like the first 4 quarterbacks we've seen have really just dropped back and counted to, you know, 1.5 and threw the ball. So I'm just trying to figure out, how is your offensive line? How do you feel about them going against this D-line? And where are you going to try to attack this defense?
Yeah, I think that the Seahawks offensive line is not the absolute tire fire that it's been the last couple of years. DJ Fluker and the return of J.R. Sweezy has improved the run blocking. Jermaine Ifedi's cut down on the penalties now that Tom Cable's not in his ear telling him to do bad things all the time. Dwayne Brown's really solidified the left tackle position. Justin Britt remains reliable. So you talk about a league average sort of offensive line. That said, going up against Aaron Donald, bad things can happen. The issue with the Seahawks right now is the lack of weapons in the passing game. We might want to get a quick passing game going, but we don't have anyone who can get separation right now. Our best options in a quick passing game are Brandon Marshall, who's dropping the ball every other time we target him, Doug Baldwin, who still looks visibly hampered by a pair of knee injuries, Will Dissly, Will Dissly is out for the year, maybe for longer, with a torn patella tendon, as he mimics Jimmy Graham's career with the Seahawks, and Tyler Lockett, who's a valuable deep threat and who's hit for a bunch of touchdowns this year. But if you're talking about getting out the ball quickly, his best work happens deeper into a route. And so you've got an issue where I just listed all of the Seahawks' primary weapons, and we don't have a great short passing option. So the hope is that Doug Baldwin is getting healthier every week. Now, there's no reason to really expect that, given that before the second knee injury, he already was talking about that he's probably this season peak going to be 85% of his former self, which is a scary thought. But, you know, if he can get good matchups, you guys are down to leave this week, so you just have Marcus Peters. I assume Peters will just sort of try to take Lockett out of the game, bait us into turning the ball over. So it's possible that Doug Baldwin could be the guy to have a big, you know, like a 12-catch, 140-yard game. Like, that's the dream scenario. The more likely scenario is the Seahawks struggle to move the ball.
Yeah, those are all great points, and you're right. I love you broke it down from each offensive player, and I'm going, man, is he representing Locked On Rams, or this sounds great right now?
Guys, I'm struggling with everything that happened this week.
I know. You guys,
I'm already like the resident pessimist, but like Man, this week was really one of the toughest for me as a Seahawks fan, losing Earl again. And then I can't emphasize enough how much that Will Dissly injury, because of all the Earl Thomas news, sort of slipped under the radar, similar to what's sort of happening with the Falcons defense, where it's just injury on injury on injury, and you can't sort of track the fact that they're down everybody. Dissly's that guy for us who was really flashing in every phase of the game at tight end. It looked like we had a guy we could lean on for a long time. That patella tendon injury, as well as Jimmy Graham came back from it, it's a really tough one. It's ended careers before, and so it's so devastating to see a guy that young, a local kid out of UW, who was playing out of his mind, building great rapport with Russ, to see him go out for the year. It's just killing me. And watching the Rams and seeing how good they are, it's just like, oh, if we had Will and Earl, I could talk myself into this, and now I can't. So it's just bumming me out. So I need to lean into my pessimism and also apologize for it for those of you listening on the Seahawks side. I'm sorry, guys. I want to be happier. It's a tough week for all of us. If we're cutting Earl some slack, cut me some slack too.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. As Seahawks world, everyone's got to realize that it's adding up, man. It's got to be just overwhelming, and it's going to be interesting to see how that team comes out in response. You know, I mean, are you going to come out and just lay an egg and roll over and just say, you know, poor us, or is Pete Carroll going to rally the boys and put together a game plan and actually, you know, keep this thing close through the first half and make it so it is a game in the second half and really get that crowd into it. So it's going to be, I mean, in a weird way, I know it's early in the season, and I know there's a lot of games to be played, but in a divisional matchup like this where, you know, like you said, some big injuries, especially to some key legendary people on the team, how do they respond will be interesting to see how the Seahawks move forward the rest of the year.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be, you know, a kind of a litmus test of where the Seahawks are, especially after these big, big injuries to both sides of the ball. So, yeah, we're going to see whether, you know, they are able to, you know, bounce back and you know, be fired up and put up a fight, or whether it's just going to be tough for them to even try to put up a fight. So, yeah, it's going to be a really, really telling game, I think, for the Seahawks.
All right, guys, well, why don't we step aside for our last commercial break here. We'll get some words from our sponsors. We'll be back to kind of wrap a bow on this episode. We'll kind of do some predictions as far as score predictions and maybe some final thoughts. We'll be right back on the other side, Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Rams, crossover edition on the Locked On Podcast Network.
So we've been talking about the big matchup between the Seahawks and Rams this Sunday at CenturyLink, and you have the opportunity to go watch it in person if you're in the Seattle area. Now, if you're wondering where you should get tickets, the answer is simple. It's VividSeats.com. It's the Vivid Seats app. So Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experience that last a lifetime. You're gonna watch this Seahawks and Rams game in person, and the memories are going to last a lifetime. Good or bad, you'll remember them forever. So, hey, you gotta make these memories, and Vivid Seats is gonna help you do that. And when you order tickets, you know, whether it would be any site, they're always expensive, especially NFL games. People try to run up the prices, and so you end up spending a lot of money. And so what Vivid Seats is doing is they have a promo that you get $20 back on orders of $200 or more with the promo code Locked On. This is a promo code especially for listeners of the Locked On Podcast Network. So take advantage of this special promo code. It's $20 off an order of $200 or more with the promo code Locked On. Go to the App Store, go to Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, or open your computer, log on to your computer, and go to vividseats.com. Take advantage of the promo code. Again, it's Locked On. And hey, save some money. Go buy a hot dog and a beer and watch this game you're going to remember forever. That's Vivid Seats, and order the app. We are back with the final portion of today's special Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Rams crossover. It's Grant Goldberg, Spike Friedman, and Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. And, you know, it's amazing that we've, you know, had this whole show and we haven't brought up the two most important people, and that's Michael Dixon and Johnny Hecker. We're going to get into a punting battle this Sunday. Now, we mentioned how many times the Rams have punted this season, and we've all talked about Michael Dixon and how much potential he has. So I think that, you know, there's going to be kind of the, you know, passing of the torch, if you will, because the Seahawks are going to be in a position to punt a lot more than the Rams. You know, this is, you know, kind of pessimistic for me to say, but it's the obvious thing to say. And so, yeah, they're going to be punting more than the Rams, especially this year and especially in this game. So I think, you know, this is the best time for Johnny Hecker to pass the torch of best punter in the league to Michael Dixon, or, you know, eventual best punter in the league.
Yeah, Bear, I guess so. I'll just ask you this question after I've done so much Rams boosting. What does it feel like to have the Kobe Bryant of punting to the LeBron James of punting that is Michael Dixon?
Yeah, no, that's a good little 1-2 right there. I love me some Johnny Hecker. He is just such a fan favorite. I mean, he's not only so great at what he does, but interacting with fans when you go down to training camp, and if you follow him on social media, he's, you know, really fun to follow there. And he really almost, I think it was maybe it was last game or it was the game before, where he almost had about a 50-yard touchdown bomb. I mean, the guy's got an arm. We talked about we don't really trust our backup quarterback in Sean Mannion, and a lot of people are really hoping that if we ever get there, if Goff ever goes down, we'd like to really see Hecker come in. Because he's got a gun down the field, and both these teams are known for being tricky on the special teams. So if you get your Vivid seats and, you know, you're at the game and you're trying to, you know, get a quick beer while the fourth down comes up, it's probably not a good time to go. You're going to want to actually hang around and watch these special teams, because these are two of the best. And you're right. You guys got the LeBron James, you know, early version coming out. He's had some really good punts that have, you know, when you get the announcer excited about a punt, you know you're doing something right. But we love Johnny Hecker out here. And like we mentioned earlier, only 7 punts so far this year. So I don't mind him as just kind of, you know, that redhead patrolling the sideline. I don't really want to get him in the game. Let's keep him fresh as much as we can. But we'll see. And you kind of kick it back to you guys. You know, when you go and take a punter in the draft where you guys did, you know, kind of gets your heart rate going a little bit, scares you a little bit. But, man, talk about maybe how he's been this year and, you know, how that pick really, you know, ended up. I mean, obviously you guys get rid of, you know, longtime punter John Ryan and that whole transition. But you feel good about it, sounds like, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to take this one. I love it. I'll say that in an otherwise down year for the Seahawks, it's nice to have an element of the game really come into the Seahawks position. That is the versatility of Michael Dixon. He's had a couple bad punts over the last 2 games, one really bad one, a few that were just okay. So he isn't playing again at that sort of peak LeBron Heat level. You know, but early Cavs LeBron is sort of what we got going on right now, where every other punt just blows your mind. He's also been drop kicking it, which right. is a really exciting element for us. You know, if Johnny Hecker is your backup quarterback, Michael Dixon probably should be just our starting kicker. we could get into the highlights and the value, but in terms of fifth rounders, when you're talking about stabilizing a position for the long term, and as much as I love John Ryan, his last 2 seasons in Seattle, he was slightly below league average, somewhere in the 18 range in terms of punter ranking. Dixon's already surged up into the upper half of the top 10. And if he can really get that consistency of hitting his wide variety of punts, it's going to be a top 3 punter by next year. So that for us, you know, you're getting value there. If it were higher up in the draft, if it were, a third rounder or something, I'd be nervous. But with a punter also, you don't have that risk of, like, the kicker losing his brain, like a Blair Walsh or something like that, or an Aguayo, and then you lose him forever. A punter has a bad game, it's like, oh, I guess they get the ball in the 15 and not the 9. You know, like, it's not, right. It doesn't ruin their psychology. So I like everything about this, and I really just like having somebody who's good at his job right now.
Yeah, he's been a rallying point for this podcast. But we mentioned earlier in the show how good the Seahawks defense has been this season, and a large part of it is due to Michael Dixon putting them in a really great place to start off drives. They're giving the opponents, well, he's giving the opponents a really long field. Now, it could help to have a little bit better special teams coverage than they have in the early goings of this year, but he is not making it easy for offenses starting out, within the 10-yard line a lot of the time. So he's been, setting up this defense to perform pretty well. So again, if the Seahawks are going to have better chances, Michael Dixon can really help them out by giving the Rams a long field. But who knows with Earl Thomas gone if that's going to matter a whole ton. Hopefully they're just able to keep the Rams within field goal range because they do not trust the kicking situation right now.
Yeah, as you talk about creating that long field, all my excited offensive mind keeps thinking is, "Wow, we pad some stats here. Jared Goff can go for that 400-yard game
Oh,
again.
God, I hate this game.
Put us inside the five and let us work the whole
Bear, we
field."
gotta pick this game.
Stop
You're
reminding us.
gonna kill us.
All right, well, let's go around the house. I'll let you guys start here, and we'll do a quick score prediction, and we'll wrap this podcast up, and I'll stop, stop taking my low blows while I can get them. But I'll let you guys start it. Talk to me about maybe a score prediction and how you see this thing going.
Spike, I'll let you have it
Yeah,
first.
last year was what, 42-7 in this game? I'm going to go 41-8 with four safeties all set up by Michael Dixon.
There you go.
I don't even know how I'm supposed to top that. But no, I will go 34-20, and I think that's a little generous for the Seahawks just because of the way both teams are trending. The Seahawks, funny enough, have won two games in a row, but it's not against a team in the stratosphere of the Rams this season. And yeah, it's a really tough game coming up for the Seahawks, especially with the injuries that they have, with the young players that they have playing big roles in this game, losing veteran players left and right. It's a tough game to pick. It's tough. It's a tough score to predict. I think it can go a lot of ways, but a lot of ways not really good for the Seahawks. So yeah, I think I'll go 34-20, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a little more.
So looking, kind of taking a glance at the Rams' last four games, they've put up 33 points, 34 points, 35 points, 38 points. They put up more points every game. So I think I'm going to stick to that trend. Last game, they put up 38 points. So I'm going to crack them into that 40 range. I'm going to say 42-23. And that would put my prediction, if I said you added 10 points to the spread, they'd still cover it. So that covers both of my obnoxious predictions. So that's what I'll go with, 42 to 23. I think this is a big win for the Rams. I think it's just, as we talked, I think there's just too many injuries on the defense side of the ball. And the Rams are even just getting better on their defense side of the ball. So I think the combination of those two things are just going to be too much. It was a really emotional weekend for the Seahawks, and even if they come out, maybe they start the first half and this thing's close, but I think in the second half the Rams just really start to pull it away by putting pressure on Russell Wilson and forcing him into a few mistakes. And you talked about that punter, but I think if we can create turnovers, it really takes one of your big weapons out of the game, and all of a sudden we do have that great field position and can get some points up. So I think it's going to be a big win for the Rams. But these are always fun games between these two teams, and it's a division game. It's on the road for the Rams, so you never know. The old saying, that's why you play the games on Sunday, right?
Yeah, and I mean, if there is hope, it's that Russell Wilson can transcend Brian Schottenheimer's sort of uninventive play calling. The interior of the offensive line holds up. Trey Flowers and Shaq Griffin play out of their mind and pick Jared Goff off once or twice, and the Seahawks can keep it tight and win it late. I think that's like possible. It seems very unlikely, but I figured, given all my pessimism to this point, I'd throw out one optimistic version of what can happen.
There you go.
All right. Well, I think that does it for another great crossover episode. As always, if you like this, you should be listening to all of the great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NFL, as Sage Rosenfels as a guest every week. And that's my favorite episode of the week. Locked On Draft. I mean, all the Locked On College shows, there's more every week. Still, I believe no Huskies drafted. I haven't checked since our last episode. Someone do a Huskies one. We want a Huskies podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. And yeah, and another thing is just we've been rocking out with PFF stats all year. They've been helping us really get deeper, provide you guys with more information. So if you want that awesome tracking stats they do, those are available to you if you go to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, yeah, I can't say enough good things about the charting stats. They definitely help, you know, they paint a better picture of, you know, what happens on Sundays, you know, just past the eye test. So it's a really, really great tool to take advantage of if you're a Pro Football Focus subscriber.
Ditto all those things, guys. It was an awesome time. I always have a great time talking to you guys. I'm excited for the second half of this when you guys come down to Los Angeles and we can do it over again. It's only about a month away, so hopefully we've got another competitive matchup to talk about. Guys, appreciate your time. Best of luck on Sunday, and we'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. For the Locked On Seahawks and Locked On Rams crossover, I'm Spike Friedman signing off.
And I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.